Hi, welcome to Governance Bites. I'm Mark Benicevich, and today I'm with Steve Burgess. Steve is the director and founder of Compliance Refinery, which is a business that helps financial advice providers and other financial services firms through their compliance obligations. And he also sits on a number of advisory boards, helping those firms and those types of firms navigate their way into the future. So welcome, Steve.
Thanks, Mark. Excited to be here.
Excellent. Now, my questions for you are actually around company policies. I'm going to start with the big one. What are they?
Policies. Policies are essentially how you do what you do in your business. So that's, you're going to have a policy that dictates, as an example, record keeping. Record keeping is going to show you evidence how you'll keep records in your business, how you'll document them, where you'll store them, who has access to them, if you do any testing and those types of things in your business. And that extrapolates across all areas of your business. So depending on what your business is, you may have specific licensing or legislative obligations, and we all have those. Basically, everybody falls under privacy. So you've got to sit in there and understand your obligations and then have a policy to make sure that you're protecting information in your business.
So the policy then probably includes some sort of statement about what those obligations are and what your entity's attitude is towards meeting those obligations. And then it sounds like a series of steps or procedures that you want everyone to follow that policy.
Yeah. And I think what you see is in some entities you can have a policy that refers to other procedural docs, but those are usually bigger entities. So in smaller entities, I always like to think it doesn't really make sense to have a policy and then a procedural doc, so you can put them together. And that's the, you know, like you said, your attitude towards it, this is what it is, this is what our responsibilities are, but then what you actually do as well. And then we like to see controls as well, so you can test that and evidence that as you move forward.
So what are controls?
Controls? Controls are the testing you're going to do in your business. And it can be testing or it can be things you've implemented technology-wise to make sure that, in the case of privacy, that information isn't leaked outside your business or people aren't accessing systems they shouldn't be able to, and that you're protecting information. There can be, like, you know, you can have policies like health and safety and other things where you're just trying to keep people safe and you're trying to reduce the risk of the business. So your controls are what you'll do, what you'll test to evidence that. So as a director, you can look at that. You can look at the results of the testing in those controls and you can say, yes, we're within our risk tolerance or we're outside our risk tolerance and therefore we need to take more action and update the policy or potentially update some of our systems.
Okay, so your policy initially was a statement about what your obligations are and your entity's attitude to how you're going to meet those obligations. Your procedures or your processes and documents that say this is these are the steps we follow when this element, mm-hmm. this area is involved, whether it's advertising or health and safety. And then your controls are the tests that you do to ensure that everyone is following those procedures and therefore following your policy.
Yeah.
And if all of that is tied in together really well, then everything in your company will be running smoothly and legally and compliantly. And yep. Your directors are nice and safe.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, directors are there to manage risk in a lot of cases. Mm-hmm. You know, the last thing they want to find is an insolvent company or a company that just is broken and can't service customers. And that's what you're looking to provide. And that's what policies and procedures and controls do, is they ensure that you can keep operating in a safe manner in the future and you're not putting the company at risk.
Right. And that will include things like keeping your people safe and in a not-for-profit, making sure that your members and your activity is operating safely and effectively.
Yep, exactly. And you don't have reputational damage and those types of things.
Right.
Okay. And I think in today's world, like we're seeing, the world's changing so quickly right now. Like I think probably 5 years ago, not many people would have thought cyber is a huge risk, but cyber is probably the biggest risk for everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, in terms of things that are coming along, like health and safety, business continuity. You know, there wasn't a lot of events like post-Christchurch, but then, you know, we had the New Zealand summer. And, you know, some massive events that created huge problems for businesses, customers, you know, individuals throughout the country. And these are the types of things that, well, especially directors and companies need to be prepared for, because the last thing you want to be doing is making up a plan while you're very stressed.
Right, and an example from a sports organization, we've got a couple of trends that are happening at the moment is around transgender athletes and how do they participate in sport, particularly when most sport is separated by gender.
Yeah.
You've also got issues in many sports still around concussion and how to deal with concussion and those sorts of things because they're very big health and safety risks.
And even, I was at a conference last week and a fellow, I can't remember his name, but he's kind of the demographics expert in New Zealand. And he was talking about how few kids anymore play rugby in New Zealand, especially males. And he said, if you look at the numbers are sustaining, but it's mostly because girls are playing now, and a lot more girls are playing than have ever played. But overall, male participation is down greatly. But he's actually working with Rugby New Zealand, say, okay, we need some, the All Blacks need some players, you know, and they're getting out ahead of it and trying to find ways to attract other kids into the game.
Right.
So there's a large pool of talent to select from.
Okay. Now, let's elevate the conversation a little bit more about to the board of directors itself and governance. What is the role of a board of directors?
I think it's quite a broad role, but overall, you're helping govern the business and you're helping ensure that the business, A, is solvent, can meet its liabilities, and that the business isn't breaking any laws or the business is going to be able to conduct itself optimally in the future. And the board, I think the board brings many, I guess, it should bring a wide variety of skills to an entity and to help challenge the entity. So the board isn't necessarily there to do the work. The board is there to ask the questions. The board is there to review the pertinent information, ask the difficult questions, push those hard conversations that should be had that likely aren't being had in your everyday course of life. It's to facilitate the governance.
Right, because ultimately the board of directors represent in a company situation the shareholders, or in a not-for-profit situation the members, and then delegate a lot of that, the day-to-day operations, to management. So the board of directors is responsible for the oversight, the governance, the future of the organization, the strategy, ensuring it's solvent and meeting all of its obligations, and then delegates the day-to-day operations to management, and then management reports that up to the board of directors, and the board of directors oversee that that's all happening correctly.
And I think what we see when we look at it is, you know, I look at my advisory board, and we ask a lot of questions. Like in the day-to-day, we're like, okay, we've got this work we need to do, we've got this work we need to do, we've got this work we need to do. How do we do it profitably? How do we do it well? How does it work for the business? Do we have the resource? Do we need more resource? Do we need less resource? Those kinds of things. But then when I go into that advisory board meeting, it's completely different. It's a totally different conversation. We're talking about 4 years out. We're talking about 5 years out. We're talking about changes happening over here. We're talking about, you know, the industry changing, and we're not down in the doing. We're up here thinking about strategy, and they're asking difficult questions that, quite frankly, I don't always ask myself.
Right. Yep. So that I think that's a key area, a point that you just raised, that you know, in the day-to-day and leading the company, you are so focused on the operations and what's going to happen a month from now, 6 months from now, that you don't necessarily have the time or the mental space to step back and think what's going to happen down the line. And the advisory board is forcing you to spend time thinking about that and bringing their own views and their expertise to challenge your thoughts and broaden the ideas that come out and ultimately see your business in a much stronger position.
Yeah, exactly. And I think looking at that, like, I've got somebody that you've already interviewed for this series on my advisory board, and I went to that person because I said, I know your skill set is very different from mine. Mm-hmm. And I know you're going to challenge me on things that I don't necessarily do that well.
Right.
You know, you're going to bring that element, and I need that element. And I think when anybody's sitting thinking about a board of directors or governance or an advisory board, it's not I need people I like or I need people that are like me. It's I need people that are different than me. I need people that are going to challenge me. You know, and I always think about it. In the sense that if you go through a board meeting or an advisory board meeting and it's just ho-hum and nice and nobody asks any tough questions, you've just wasted a couple of hours. You know, you should feel pressure in those meetings. You should feel discomfort in those meetings because somebody is challenging your beliefs, and that's what they're there to do.
So it's almost like you as a business owner or the CEO of the company is one puzzle piece and the board of directors are other puzzle pieces, and together you create this whole, this very, very powerful
exactly.
whole.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's also because I think at times, especially in an entity, you can get a bit kind of, you can get that generic whitewash and everybody's like, oh yeah, that's just always been that way. That just makes sense. And then somebody comes in and says, that's been that way for 8 months. Why isn't it fixed?
Yes.
You know, and you're all just sitting there, oh, it just seems kind of hard, you know. It's just been, just I don't want to talk, you know. And then somebody comes in and says, no, we need to fix that. You know, and it's nice to have that external voice just looking at it saying, wait a second, why has that just been accepted as norm?
You've actually raised, I think, quite an interesting common distinction between a for-profit board and a not-for-profit board.
Yeah.
And that in a for-profit board, although the shareholders will vote to appoint the directors, there's a lot of work that goes in the background behind identifying what skill sets you need in those directors to make sure they fit together to create this puzzle, this whole puzzle. And so you get this mix of skill sets, whereas quite often a not-for-profit board, each of the members is elected based on nominations, and you end up with this kind of unmatched group of people getting together who don't necessarily, who have overlapping skills and don't necessarily meet all the skills required. Yeah. And that's a challenge to overcome if they work through a skills matrix and identify what skills they don't have, drawing in the expertise into the board meeting to make sure they fill those gaps.
Yeah, which is fantastic. And I think you should see that in every entity.
Right.
Like diversity, both in skill sets and I guess people, is very important. Having different personalities, having people who look differently, having people who sound differently. You know, we live in a very multicultural society, and that's what we should be looking at in those meetings. And I think it is so important that you go for, you know, a group of people who aren't necessarily alike. And I think sometimes when you see it, you think, oh, you guys all seem to be in the same group, and you brought you in, and you brought you in, and you know, you probably all go to dinner and do similar things, and
Yes, although diversity itself isn't enough, all of the people that sit on around that table together as a board must have the basic knowledge of governance to know what their job is, to be able to deliver what they're doing.
Yeah.
So that's really important too.
And I think one of the things I've seen in I guess some of the clients we work with is sometimes the board members actually, especially in smaller entities, will reach down and actually do some of the work.
Yes.
And that can really skew
what
that governance role is, in terms of your hands are getting into the business, which likely means they don't have enough resource or they don't have those specific skill sets.
Common in startup boards, common in not-for-profits where they're low on budget.
Definitely,
Very much that resource-based board. And then the challenge is making sure that those directors that are getting their hands inside the entity or inside the business are able to pull them back out again and do their job as directors.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really great. Have you got any advice you would give to somebody who was looking to step into governance?
Yeah. I think it's amazing. Like, for myself, I'm very passionate about it. I enjoy it greatly. When on both sides of it, having people above me and then, you know, stepping in to advisory board roles or director roles. But what I would say is I definitely get some training. It's not necessarily a natural skill, and it follows a very specific and systemic process. So it's not something you can just walk into and be like, oh, I'm here. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to follow a very strong process for it to be effective, and very process-oriented that way. We want to see that process followed. But I would also say, do your research and get out and talk to people. Very similar to what you're doing. Get out and talk to people who are professionals, who do it all the time. And then if you do have an entity, you know, approach them. Don't be shy. You know, if you have somebody, I've just cold called people that I've even just seen in the paper, and you know, that I've just thought, wow, what an awesome business model. I'd love to learn more about that and just meet the people that are responsible for that. And you say that to people, and people are often, oh yeah, well, I love my idea too. I'd love to tell somebody how great my idea is, you know?
Yes.
So I think that's, you know, really important that, you know, I think in some cases today, a lot of the people going into it are people that have gotten to a certain level in their career, don't, you know, there's not a lot of jobs in New Zealand, don't really have far to go, so they're like, oh, I'm going to do some board work and that kind of thing. But I would say find what you're passionate about, study, learn to become very good at it. I know you study it a lot and you know it well. You know, you're obviously very passionate about it. And then find spaces where you're passionate that you can make a difference, because there's a lot of opportunity to do that, or businesses where you can make a difference. And you know, just approach people or go into more professional settings and, you know, build a network of people.
Right. Well, yeah. That's been a great conversation, Steve. Thank you very much for
your time. Thanks for having me.
Look forward to catching up again soon.
You too. And look forward to seeing these.
See you next episode.